Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Friday, March 31st, 2017. And with me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's awesome that you're here. It's also awesome that Dave Hamilton is here. How are you, Dave?
I'm awesome. And it's awesome to be here. And everything is awesome.
You know, I would have been let down if you hadn't gone there.
I could feel it coming. I just had to, you know, process and let it all happen.
So. Yeah, it was very organic. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Elgato's Eve Energy. It's a smart switch. And what I love about this smart switch is that it's designed from the ground up to be HomeKit compatible. So that means if you need to take something in your house, your office that isn't a smart device or HomeKit compatible device, you can pop one of these outlet things onto your wall and make the device a HomeKit device. And it's also a great way if you haven't gotten into smart home stuff and you want to experiment with it a little bit and try it out with HomeKit. There you go. It's just under $50 for one of these, and they work really well. I've been using one for quite a while now. I actually use it to control a window air conditioner that otherwise would have two settings, off and Arctic. And seriously, it's you know, when you have,
I have a car like that, it's terrible.
Yeah, maybe you need one of these switches in your car, Dave.
If only.
I know, if only. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, when you have a place that was built in like 1905, 1910, you have weird size windows. And so I found an air conditioner that fits the window, but it's this narrow thing, and it's very limited on features. And I'm not one to go and skimp on features with my technology, because I want my stuff to do stuff for me. So I popped one of these on the wall, plugged my air conditioner into it, and set up a HomeKit scene so that my Ecobee tells the switch when to turn on and off. My air conditioner runs when it needs to, and my place doesn't get too cold, it doesn't get too hot, and I can even go and see how much power that air conditioner is using, because Eve Energy actually records all that information and feeds it back to your iPhone. So it's just awesome. I absolutely love having this switch, and I think you guys should go check it out, because my guess is if you haven't started using HomeKit yet, this will be a really great way for you to get into it, and it makes me an enabler. So what you need to do is go to Elgato's website. That's elgato.com/TDO. And when you're there, you can check out the Eve Energy Smart Switch. Like I said, it's HomeKit compatible. It's really great. Go check it out. Elgato.com/TDO. And thank you to Elgato and their Eve Energy HomeKit compatible smart switch for being our sponsor this week. Okay, so clearly I was just so excited about the switch, I had to tell everyone right then. But now I feel like I can focus on what I want to talk with you two about. And the reason I have both of you here is because you two have been experimenting with Apple's new file system, APFS. And we've talked about it some, but I wanted to have both of you on since you've actually had a little bit of experience with this now. Is this something that I should start playing with on my computer? And fill me in.
Well, you certainly can start running APFS on your Mac if you're running macOS Sierra. It is built into the operating system. It has been since the very first developer preview at WWDC. And not only is it available in the current developer previews, but it's available in the production releases of macOS Sierra. So, but it's not in the user interface. Disk Utility will not let you format a drive this way. Right. You have to do it from the command line. Thankfully, Jeff Butts here, you put together a killer article that lists three commands, three terminal commands that you type to create an APFS partition. It's very simple. One of the commands is actually just a list command, so you can see where your drive is. And then the others are very, very, very straightforward. And then it creates it. And it mounts up just fine and on the surface acts like any other disk that you've got. And then you can go and do a git info and see APFS. And, you know, that's cool, right?
Well, most of the time it mounts up just fine.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I had one instance. I was repartitioning my internal SSD drive and I created an APS volume. And when the first time it created, it was only accessible to an administrator user. It was not accessible to a standard user, so I had to blow it away and run the commands again.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, okay. So and I've had some weird things when trying to convert a drive back from APFS to HFS Plus. I've done it in Disk Utility, and I have to tell it to erase the drive twice. It fails the first time. And then the second time it works. And I think that has to do with the fact that the way APFS is you create a container on your drive for APFS in general. But there's no, and it is a partition, but there's no volume associated with it. And right. then you assign a volume to that container, and this is one of the features of APFS, you could assign multiple volumes to that container and they both share the same storage pool. So where this is really handy is if you want to partition things, but not commit to a fixed size for any one of the, you do commit to a fixed size, but you can move it around very, very fluidly because the OS doesn't actually commit it to a fixed size. It's just it's a virtual fixed size, if you will.
Right.
Everything draws from the same storage pool. Yeah. So if you want to, like right now, you know, you can repartition a live HFS drive, you know, between partitions, but it's very limited what you can do. And of course it takes a very long time because it actually sometimes has to move data around and that sort of thing. With APFS, it's a very quick process because it's all drawing from the same storage pool, which makes a whole lot more sense in this day of SSDs where the physical location on the disk is basically irrelevant. There is no physical location on it. I mean, there is on an SSD, but it's not a spinning platter. Yeah, there's not this mechanical component that actually makes it relevant. Yeah. So,
all right. So
you can do all that, and it's cool, and you can play.
All right.
If you do a speed test,
I was just about to ask if you could tell me about performance.
Yeah, so I have one of these things. It's an OWC drive dock, which is a really handy thing to have if you're messing around with stuff exactly like this, because it connects via Thunderbolt, so you have a super fast interface to it, and it's got two bays in it, and you don't. It's like an external drive case without the case. So you literally just drop drives into it. So it makes the testing that we're about to talk about here really, really easy. And so I've formatted two different drives as APFS, a five terabyte rotational Seagate drive, and then a 256 gig Samsung 840 Evo SSD. And doing speed tests on these, I was surprised to find that both my read and write speeds on the SSD are about 20% slower with APFS than they were with HFS Plus, and that's HFS Plus encrypted or not. HFS Plus is basically the same speed encrypted, as it is not encrypted. So APFS for raw data transfer is at the moment 20% slower than HFS Plus. And Jeff, you did some confirmations of this for me. So I did
because when you first told me about that, I thought, well, I wonder, it's not likely, but I wonder if he's doing something wrong.
It's totally likely.
So I tested it for myself, and I actually tested both with an external drive and an internal drive. Spindle you know, a platter-based external drive and then my internal SSD drive. And results were basically the same across the board. The HFS Plus drive was remarkably faster in a large file write and read than the APFS drive.
Okay, so Dave, you said something that that now has me wondering. You said, for now, what I'm wondering is, should people be concerned thinking, hey, Apple just created this new file format or drive formatting system, and it's slower than what I already had. Great. Should I even bother?
Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag thanks, Apple. No, I don't. I say that sarcastically. I don't think this is something to be concerned about right now. It is not released. In fact, there is no way to even, like, Apple, even for developers, I don't think can boot their systems on APFS. And there's a lot of good reasons for that. Time Machine's not ready for it, you know, all that stuff. But so there may be a lot of debugging code in the APFS drivers on Mac OS, right? That would slow things down. Okay. I don't know. I've looked in the console a little bit. I don't see anything, but I mean, you know, I could very well be missing something. But there's other things that APFS is built to do. And so all of those still exist, you know, the space sharing that we talked about, the cloning for files and even folders. So when you duplicate a file or a folder, it doesn't actually duplicate it on the disk, right? Mm-hmm. It just creates another pointer to it. It's got fast directory sizing. There's lots of these things that APFS does that simply make it better. Even if what we're seeing now, and this is a big if, and I'm not even speculating that this is the case, but just a for instance here, even if this is the release build of APFS and it is 20% slower, I feel like there's still good reason to want to use it. Now, maybe you wouldn't want to use it on your external drive that you're saving video to. Again, we're in very much, you know, future crystal ball, very cloudy scenario here based on what's probably a very early stage driver for this. But, you know, if this is the case, then the only place where this raw speed truly matters is when you're transferring lots of data over, you know, over a long period of time. And so that would be like video production and things like that, where you'd want that on a separate drive anyway. And maybe APFS is not geared for that. Maybe that's a, right. Again, I know I'm covering my arse here, many ways, but I just want to make it clear that we're, you know, we don't know. There's a reason this isn't released yet. In fact, there are many reasons. This might be one of them.
Well, and Dave, what was the file size that you were working with in your speed tests?
Five gigs.
Five gig?
Yeah, I was doing 5 gig tests with Blackmagic speed test. Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. All right. So the takeaway that I'm getting from this is that what Apple has probably done is put support into the public release of Sierra so that if by chance someone hands you an APFS formatted drive, it actually mounts and you can use it and you didn't need to know that it wasn't HFS Plus. But for developers, they have the hooks underneath so that they can do their testing and make sure that whatever apps and utilities they've designed will work properly with APFS. And we're at a state right now where this is not ready for daily use. It's just there so that Apple is a step closer to getting through their transition into the new format.
Yeah, that's our assumption.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anything's possible. So, you know, but it's fun to play with. And if you're someone who relies on the file system, especially if you're someone who's a consultant that's going to be helping people down the road, you know, I always treat the developer betas as developer/consultant betas. is, right? Because you, just like a developer needs to be up to speed on what's going on, so do it, those of us that are going to help people that when they get there. Just because you're not writing software doesn't exclude you from being a necessary part of this group. So
that's a really good
point. It's worth playing with. Yeah.
All right. So, and for everyone else, just know it's there. And if you want to experiment a little bit, great. And don't freak out when you don't see the performance that you're expecting, because there's a good chance that's going to change.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think we're about out of time, so we need to wrap up. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Dave, thanks for being here as well.
My pleasure. This is fun.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah.
I know we're kind of stepping into Mac Geek Gab territory a little bit, but you know, my feeling is this is stuff that that our listeners really want to know about. So
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, yeah. We need to share the joy. And speaking of sharing the joy, everyone go check out the Elgato Eve Energy Smart Switch. It's HomeKit compatible. It's a really great way to add a new device to your network to your home that would otherwise not be HomeKit and smart home compatible. It's a great little thing to have. I love mine. That would be elgato.com/TDO. Go check that out. And listeners, thank you for being here. And thanks for all the feedback that you give me. You guys rock. We'll see everyone again on Monday. We'll be right back.